Tim Flanagan here with Amanda Kramer, back with another episode of Winning Through Culture. Good morning, Amanda.
Good morning.
It's good to be doing this not only together, but live. And our episode today is really a wrap-up on, I'll call it our mini-series on best places to work that we've been doing over the latter part of the summer into the fall. So looking forward to the conversation today.
As am I. It's really nice to take a pause and reflect on some of the episodes that were part of the mini series and really wrap it up in a maybe a nice little bow for those that are listening, whether you are a leader or a seeker of employment in some capacity with a potential best places to work.
Yeah. And I thought today what we could do is unpack some of the observations that we had from the conversations and our own experience and really give everybody some tangible takeaways. Whether you're a leader running a company that would like to be a best place to work, whether it's recognized formally or not, or as you said, someone seeking employment, how do you identify a company that may be, again, whether they're recognized formally or not, a best place to work? So we're going to unpack some of the lessons we had from that and share some specific, very specific things today that I think people can reflect on and ask themselves to explore. You had a great analogy as we were prepping for this, so maybe we should start there.
Sure. So it's interesting. The house next to mine went up for sale and of course sold within like 24 hours. And I was sitting there reflecting on the fact that you spend, or an individual will spend, a majority of their life, right, in your work environment and in your home environment. And so as I've been watching the parade of people come to do an inspection, to paint, to do all these things with the house next door, it really hit me in reflecting on the best places to work episodes that we've had that there's no way in which really I would ever, and I'll use myself as the example, would seek a partnership or a collaborative engagement, so employment in some capacity, without doing some semblance of an inspection that you would traditionally do with a house. You don't go in and you look at it and you're like, oh, this looks good. And then you're like, you just sign the dotted line and move in and everything's great. There's always going to be that need for the interviewing, so to speak, of that particular home environment that you're going to be placing yourself and your family into. And so it was just an interesting analogy to think through that you are currently spending however much time in one particular scenario, and then making sure that the one you would be entering into would be equal to or better than. Acknowledging that there's a line. So as you have your inspection go through, you are sitting there going, okay, there's going to be something that needs to be fixed. There's going to be some type of issue. You know, you're personally probably not going to crawl in the crawl space or under the house, but you definitely know that there's going to be a line in which you say, okay, here are the things I can live with and potentially work on and fix down the road. Here are the things that need to be done now that I need to be aware of. And then here's that line where it's like, this is not for me. And I think that same mentality applies to when you're seeking employment or engaging in a partnership. If you're a company wanting to work with another company on some particular project or resource, it's something to consider.
Yeah, and I love the analogy because ultimately everybody, almost everybody, I'm sure, has purchased a house at least once in their lifetime and has gone through that inspection process, and nothing is perfect. So
right. We're
certainly not ever implying that a best places to work type company is perfect, because they're not, as even the number one company that might get recognized is not perfect. So ultimately, as we use the analogy of an inspection, first we will kind of unpack some of the themes that we saw. Mm-hmm. And for those that have listened to all the series, you may have seen these same themes, but having actually done the interviews and had the conversations, I think we both saw a few themes. And then we'll kind of dive into whether you're a leader of said company or someone seeking employment there, to your point, what are the things or questions even that you might ask, either reflect on as the leader or ask as a potential employee. So you want to jump into the themes that we identified?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, you and I were just having dialogue around it and sitting in those conversations with Jared and with Jeff. There was one really, I think, resounding component, and that was really around the leadership approach. So maybe you can expound on how that really landed with you and what that means.
Sure.
From a leadership approach standpoint.
Yeah, so I think specific to that, I think back when we as an organization participated in the Best Places to Work program with the Business Journal, Charlotte Business Journal, and you would hear about great companies, there was a very heavy element of fun.
Yes.
And there's nothing wrong with fun. You want to have fun. To your point, you spend a lot of time at work. So you want to have fun. You want to have people you like that you work with. But the emphasis early on always seemed to be around who had the most foosball tables or nap pods or served alcohol during the day or something that was fun oriented. And again, all well and good. The shift that I saw over the last few years, and certainly I saw in the interviews we did and in my conversations with TJ, both in the episode we did with him and then beyond that, is there's a much heavier emphasis now, it seems. Still want to have fun. Those companies do have fun.
Hey, you want to enjoy where you work.
Yeah, you want to enjoy. That's important. But the leadership emphasis is on the people that work there and how are we investing in those people? How are we connecting the people that are a part of the company to the culture and the values that we espouse for whoever the client is we serve? So, you know, if it's a business that is in the service business, they have clients, there's an experience they're trying to provide. How is it that that leadership is investing in the people that are delivering that experience, that service, or in the case of a manufacturing company, that product? And that was really the resounding theme that I've seen in the conversations we had, is the focus on investing in people. And a person, to your point, spends the vast majority of a wake day at work. And are you in a culture, in an organization that is focused on your professional growth and development and providing you challenges and economic rewards associated with those challenges to stretch yourself and grow? And do you feel an important part of that overall purpose and mission of the company? Or conversely, are you in an organization that's, the term you and I've used is transactional, where it's all about making money and the employees are just an ends to the mean there and there's turnover and people are not engaged, and there's plenty of companies that are successful doing that too.
Right.
And that's not what this podcast is about, but our focus is more on the leadership that espouses elevating people to be the best versions of themselves. So that was really the big theme that I saw, was how much of a focus and emphasis from the leadership ownership of the company there was in attending to both the professional and personal growth desires of the people that are working there.
Well, and the, I guess, subsequent theme really that came from that or derived from that overarching component of what that leadership approach is, specifically investing in their people, is the fact that people are energy. We've actually had a lot of conversation, mm-hmm. especially post-COVID and the hybrid work environment, or even maybe it's slightly more virtual in your organization or what have you. However that percentage has shook out for you, there is a people component. There's a vibe that goes along with the office. And so that's not something that is tangible in the way that you can touch it and feel it and what have you. However, in the space, there definitely is a need to create that environment where people are collaborative. So that is something that in a virtual world is very hard to see. From a leadership standpoint, definitely you can participate in roundtables and things of that nature. But as far as someone who might be seeking employment, being able to see that vibe is a little bit harder. So I think it's important, as we were talking with Jarrett and also with Jeff, that there is that component of making sure that the energy is being harnessed and also protected at the leadership level. Because at the end of the day, whether you are, for lack of a better term, making a widget, or if you are providing a service, your people are the ones that are initiating that and keeping that in motion. So that attentiveness to their energy and keeping that as positive and also as aligned to the values is really important.
Yeah, well, people are energy. And I think in the, I'll call it post-COVID environment, I know it's still with us, but ultimately, the hybrid work environment seems to have become more the norm than not. And I know we're challenged by this, is, you know, when you, in a pre-COVID world, when everyone was in the office all the time, there was an energy, there is an energy. And obviously as a leader, you want it to be a positive energy and a good vibe, but there are times when it might not be, but ultimately you want it to be a positive, good vibe. And it's hard to manage that in a virtual or hybrid situation, because the energy of people physically being together is very real and very different than people being on little boxes on a Zoom screen.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't translate.
Hollywood squares, as I like to refer to it as.
Yeah, the people in the box. And
yeah.
So that is a challenge, I think, for all leaders and companies today. And I know it is for us. And I think the key thing, though, is trying to manage the energy even when you're in that hybrid environment. And I definitely know it takes extra effort. And again, takes an extra level of intentionality and attention to be mindful of that.
Yeah. Well, and going back to the genesis of this particular wrap-up episode, is really whether you are a leader of an organization recognized formally or not, or just striving to be a best places to work, or you're a seeker of employment with said organization that would be recognized as a best places to work. Really, what are the ways in which you can discern if that is manufactured or is reality through that interviewing process? And going back to the analogy that we talked about, making sure that you are doing an inspection. So in this particular instance, it would be very tangible questions that a leader would need to consider and have an answer for. And hopefully, if it's the answer that they want, great. If it's something they need to work on, then an acknowledgement of that. And then on the other side, someone who is thinking about employment with an organization, what are some of the questions that they should be leaning into asking through that inspection, that interview process? So maybe we can just kind of outline for the leader and then for the seeker of employment.
Yeah, and I think they may be the same questions from a different perspective. I think from a leadership perspective, it's reflecting on, and we'll go through these questions that Amanda, you and I kind of came up with again as an outgrowth of our observations here. As a leader, it's reflecting on the honest answer to these questions, because again, no organization's perfect. Everybody's got room for improvement. So the question becomes, if I'm asking myself as a leader this question, what is the real answer? And then what is the answer that I want?
Right.
What is the gap? And how perhaps may I deal with that? And, you know, the way you and I spoke of these in preparation for our podcast today, in a way I think, again, you could also look at it as a leader, is the employment marketplace is obviously pretty unique right now in the sense that there are more opportunities than people seeking those opportunities.
Right.
And so it's the old adage, just like you used your house analogy, houses go quickly. Because there's a supply and demand issue. There's a supply and demand issue in the labor market, and the employee kind of has the upper hand, so to speak, relative to the number of opportunities they have. And honestly, in fairness, I think it's appropriate that as much as a company may interview an employee, potential employee, that person should interview the company.
Right.
So the questions we framed up are really reflection points from a leadership perspective, but also as a leader, think about pursuing a person of great talent, you want to be a part of your team, and they're asking you these questions, how would you respond?
Right.
So where do you want to start with the questions we came up with as a result of?
I really think the first one is, you know, we have discussed on this podcast several times the need for the celebration of success, mm-hmm. whether that is at the individual level, at a team level, or at the overarching company level. So I think one of the questions would be, how does your organization, if you're the leader or the organization that you're looking at as an employment seeker, is how are celebration activities done? How does that come to fruition in that organization? You made a really good point earlier in our dialogue around the fact that from a social standpoint, and then also from just the fact that the internet is the internet, there's a way in which you can and look and see what's being posted out there, how the organization is acknowledging some of their successes. Mm-hmm. But it definitely is a critical component of, okay, so it is maybe potentially a best place to work. And how does that show up? How are we acknowledging
How do you celebrate success at a collective level? And how do you recognize success at an individual level? And I do think that's the question.
Yeah.
Again, as a leader to reflect on, all right, so how are we? And again, as we talked about in a hybrid environment, it may be a little more challenging when people are not all together, but how do you celebrate either the collective success of the company or the success of an individual in that company?
Agreed. That's definitely one. two, I think, would be on the other side is that, as we've stated, no one is perfect. No organization is perfect. There will be mistakes. So how are mistakes handled? So whether that is in a, again, a individual environment, a team environment, or even something across the company, how are those identified, addressed, and then ultimately handled for a growth opportunity?
Yeah. And again, the core of this question is mistakes are going to happen. Even with the best of intentions as a leader, you may make a mistake. I know I do frequently. And I've always said, it's not that you will make a mistake, it's how you respond to it. So again, I think the leadership reflection here is, if a person, either you as the leader or a person in the organization makes a mistake, which both of those will happen, how do you respond to that? How do you handle that? And I think there's a distinct way in which that is handled in a best places to work, using that in air quotes, versus a company that might not be as concerned or oriented towards being a best place to work.
Right. Or invested in the growth of their people. Correct. Right. So at some organizations, it is that a mistake happens, it gets discussed, and then it's just kind of a movement, like you just move on. Mm-hmm. Whereas in a potential best places to work organization, it's a dialogue, it's a conversation, something that is looked at as an opportunity for growth in both, whether it's at that personal environment or at the company level.
Yeah. And I mean, it's an opportunity for a leader to display some humility.
Right. Yeah.
It's an opportunity for a leader to apologize, mm-hmm, and ask for forgiveness. And it's an opportunity ultimately to learn.
Right.
And to, I think, handled appropriately, actually build the relationship or build up the situation in which the mistake may have happened.
Yeah. It's all about how you handle it. I mean, yeah, as you said, mistakes are going to happen.
Yeah.
And just because you make one doesn't mean another one's not going to happen in 6 months or what have you. Like, you have to own that that's part of life. Nothing is perfect. And you can plan as much as you want, but there's going to be something that throws a wrench in your day, and how you pull yourself through that and have some grace, both with yourself and with the person that potentially might have made that mistake. Whether if it's not you, then that shows a lot about reflecting back on the core values of the organization.
Yeah. And I think as a prospective employee, again, if you're courageous enough to actually interview the company you're considering, it's a great question to ask, because mistakes happen.
Right.
You know, in the culture of this organization, how are they handled? How are they resolved?
Yeah.
So.
Well, and it shouldn't be looked at as a weakness. I kind of reflect back to when you're going through, I don't know, career coaching school or what have you in college. And they're like, oh, you know, you're probably going to get asked, what are your strengths and what are your weaknesses as an individual?
Yep.
It's more about, okay, I know that I'm going to make a mistake, but this is how I would handle that. Or here's how I would expect to be educated through that process, which I think is a way better way to address that conversation. And then finally, which is in alignment with potential mistakes that we were just having, but sometimes there are failures in a business environment. How are those addressed, handled, communicated, and ultimately worked through?
I was actually listening to John Maxwell podcast last week, and I've followed John for 20 plus years. I love his material. And he actually wrote a book that I got a chance to talk to him about, which was kind of funny. And it didn't do so well because the title was Failing Forward. And the whole purpose of him writing the book, I think he may have actually renamed it in a republish, but he was speaking about it in this podcast I was listening to, Amanda. And the whole premise of the book was, you learn more from your failures than your successes.
Mm-hmm.
And again, as a leader, kind of reflecting on a best places to work culture, how do you handle failure? Whether it's your own failure, whether it's failure to meet an objective or satisfy a client or to handle a situation with an employee or a group of employees in the business, how do you handle that? And my own personal perspective is, it's a great growth opportunity. And a lot of people in my experience over the years kind of want to shun the conversation, let alone look at what might be considered a failure, and just kind of quickly throw it under the rug, move on, hope nobody saw, you know, there's nothing going on here, pay no attention. But there are really good opportunities to actually learn, both about yourself as a leader, about how to do something different. Thomas Edison was asked a question at one point about all the inventions. The guy is the most prolific patented person in the history of our world. And I think he's got well over 2,000 patents internationally. You know, and he was asked about the light bulb and he said, I just found 10,000 ways it didn't work.
Right.
And it was that way that it eventually worked, that we have electricity now, we have electric vehicles, we have all these things. And had he quit because he had failed, quote unquote, it was that mindset of looking at failure through the lens of every failure is one step closer to success. And so I think that's the reflection point as a leader. If you really want to have a great culture, in my experience and opinion, you're going to actually embrace failure, learn from it, and create a culture of learning and not shunning it or penalizing people. Again, there are some failures that require more consequences than others, but I think the vast majority of failures can ultimately be a learning experience.
Well, as you're talking, I'm reflecting on something that's important, and we use that word a lot, but it really is more so the acknowledgement of when something isn't going well and having the courage to say, is this really the focus for this period of time, this quarter, this organization? Like, is this really what we need to be doing? And the ability to pull a ripcord, so to speak. You know, we've had some instances and we talk about how you are building a winning culture. And with that comes the, I think, great responsibility of saying, yes, we agreed to do something and we are going to see it through. But there comes a point, just like I said, with the home analogy of like, here's the line that I'm not willing to cross. Mm-hmm. Like we've gotten to this point and now we're able to, before it becomes a failure, so to speak, we're able to say, we need to either readdress this topic. We need to pick a different direction. We need to involve a different subset of our population to have a different result. And that's important to consider as well, that something might get to that failure point or you're creeping up to it, but you still have an opportunity to work through it, acknowledge that. And that takes a lot of courage.
Well, the leadership moment there really is ultimately, obviously you have to be persistent and put effort in, but at some point, and I can think of a couple of things right now off the top of my head in our own business, at some point you got to realize this is not working the way we intended it to work. Mm-hmm. And instead of just kind of
powering
pushing that aside and say, well, we'll try harder or just this one more thing. I mean, at some point you do have to reconcile, why is it not working? And to your point, it takes courage to admit we're failing at this right now. And obviously that's not our objective. So what needs to change in order for us to create a success? And the one thing I would say, again, about a best place to work type company is I think they are willing to embrace that conversation and they're willing to adapt and pivot and learn. And again, not hold themselves to a standard of perfection or the people in the business to a standard of perfection and move on. And that builds trust over time and it builds a sense of, you know, I've got your back, you've got my back, this is a safe place.
Right. Absolutely. So really the three questions, just to kind of wrap those back up. One is, how is the organization able to celebrate successes? Mm-hmm. How are mistakes acknowledged, handled, and then moved through? And then finally, you know, if there is an instance that there is a failure, how is that addressed and really used as a learning opportunity? And again, as a leader of an organization, these are questions that you have probably an immediate answer for right now. So taking the time to reflect on that and say, okay, is that the reality or is that a future ideal state that I'm trying to get to? What does that gap look like if there is one? And then how can I work to achieve that more ideal state? As someone who is seeking employment or a partnership opportunity, really thinking through what you want those answers to be for you. Where is your line where you're going through your inspection, your interviewing process, and you say, okay, those are things I can live with and work through, or these are things that are non-negotiables for me, and this might not be the best place. So I need to be looking for X, Y, and Z instead.
Yep. A new house.
A new house.
A new place to work.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
So there's one more element of this that I think is, again, and this is both as the leader of an organization and as a prospective employee, That last question, I think, is how do you know when a person is not a fit for the culture of the organization? And what do you do about it?
Yeah. It's a hard one.
And how do you deal with it? Yeah.
It's heavy.
Yep.
Right? You as a leader have spent, or your team has spent, however many hours and the investment of their people energy and working through an interview process with somebody. You all agree that this person is a fit on the front end. They come into your organization. It might be a week. It might be 6 months. It might be 2 years. And you all are looking at each other as a leadership team going, this person is either not in the right seat in my for a function, whatever they're supporting in the firm or the organization, or they're not a good fit. They're just not a fit from the standpoint of the culture, the core values, the established vision of the organization. And so having that conversation is hard. And I just it's kind of like I need to just stop and pause for a second, because you're sitting there going, we spent all of this time and energy bringing this person on. Now we've identified that they're not a fit for whichever reason that might be. But then how do you deal with it and it not become a distraction, a detractor from the organization's culture that you've worked so hard to build?
Well, and every leader finds himself in this situation in every business. It's a dynamic world and, it's a reality. And I think that as we're looking at best places to work, again, thematically, I think the companies that fit into that category get recognized for that. They have an intentional process and are willing to step into the conversation as to how do we handle the situation. And to do it, though, with a high level of dignity and respect for the individual involved. And I think that's the operative word. It's real easy sometimes to say the person's not a fit. Let's just go fire.
Yeah, that's not necessarily
the answer. That's not what we're espousing here. Again, when we're thinking about the thematic best place to work, what do we see? It is they have an intentional process, conversation. And part of that process is conversations with the said individual that might be working there and how that's handled and how that ultimately comes to a conclusion where that person maybe, hey, I'm not a fit. This isn't the right place for me. I think that's really important to have as a leadership team, a intentional process that you follow and that everybody agrees to when you find yourself in that situation, which you always will.
Yeah, absolutely.
As an employer. Conversely, again, if I were advising a young person or anyone to interview, if you will, a prospective employer, it's a question that I would ask that prospective employer, because if they have a process, it'll be very clear in the answer to that question. And if they don't, it'll be very clear that they may just do what so many companies may do, which is, oh, they're not a fit, let's just fire them and move on and not talk about it. So I think it's, again, thematically trying to come up with what are some reflection points as a leader. If you really want to have a best place to work that's focused on the people that are there and investing in them and investing in their professional and personal growth so that they deliver a great experience or a great product to your clients, these are some great questions to reflect on as a leader. Conversely, if you're looking for a company, whether they're recognized as a best place to work or not, and you have the courage to do so, these are some great questions to ask.
Yeah. Well, and I think as leaders in an organization, we would both welcome all of these questions. So there's going to be some that you have that immediate answer and there's no wavering whatsoever. There's going to be some where you have the, okay, this is the current state of how I would answer that. And here's where we're going. And I think that's an important acknowledgement that just because it is the way it is today does not mean it's the way it has to be in 6 months. And then inviting people into that conversation with you. Actually, that shows a lot of growth in your leadership style and your ability to be adaptive and flexible. And you were talking about just the process in general when you're kind of getting down to the core of how these situations, and I'm going to call them people situations, are handled. We've discussed at the beginning of the year in this podcast, and we've brought it up probably, and I don't even know, 75% of them, the fact that we have invested in being part of EOS. And so part of that, there are tools in your toolkit that help you work through some of these situations, as we've talked about, right person, right seat. So that's also something to consider as a leader. If you're like, I have an answer for these, but I don't have a process, something to consider. Go out and seek engagement from the community of support that you have.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the, you know, again, as we kind of look at the elements of great companies, there's always going to be a gap. You know, there's always going to be a current state and a desired state and a gap. And yeah, it's the beauty of growth and leadership. And what's the gap? And what's our current state? What's our aspirational state? How do we pursue that? And then, by the way, when you get there, you know, it's the line on the horizon that you never reach. There'll be another gap. That's really, I think, what we want to encourage everybody listening to this podcast, if you're a leader in particular, is an honest assessment of where your company is and how you can get better will make a very substantive and meaningful impact in the lives of the people that work there. And that's going to translate into a much greater service or product delivery to whoever your customers are that ultimately create the revenue that drives the engine of the business that helps you as the business owner be successful with your team. And that's the life cycle here that we're speaking to.
Yeah. Well, we do hope that you've enjoyed this mini series on best places to work, both the interviews we've been able to do with some of those who have been acknowledged as that formerly in the greater Charlotte area, but also some of these questions and reflections that we went through today to really help you have some pointed ideas of where to really look at if you are acknowledged or working to be acknowledged as the best places to work, or you are seeking employment with an organization that you would like to be a best places to work. We hope that you found these impactful and relevant, and we look forward to hearing from you and keeping you engaged in winning through culture throughout our next couple of episodes. And thank you so much for being with us.
Yeah, thanks, Amanda. It was good being with you. Thank you, everybody listening today. I think maybe we can put our questions in our show notes.
Absolutely.
As a way. So those of you that are listening and not looking at the notes of the podcast, if you want these questions, we'll leave them there for you. But great being with you all today. And until we are together again, be impactful and relevant.